On today's episode of The Good Word, Jason Goff joins us to answer these questions. Is LeBron still the best American player? Why we should believe in a Celtics repeat? Is the Bucks window closed? And what comes next for his Chicago Bulls? All that and more coming up right now.
Good Word with Goodwill on Yahoo Sports. Ball don't lie. And here is Vince Goodwill.
Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. We're part of the Ball Don't Lie podcast. Get us wherever you get your podcast. It is, what, Tuesday? And if you see the face on the side of me on YouTube screen, he is dressed for a white party. Not seen since the likes of Frankie Beverly and Maze. All he is missing is the dad hat. I think it's because his fiance, Dr. Pia, is on some type of AKA excursion with Kamala Harris right now. They are doing a lot of celebrating and preparation and ski-weeing and all that type of stuff. Jason Goff, ladies and gentlemen, host of the Full Go for The Ringer. And of course, he does the Bulls pregame and postgame for NBC Sports. What's up, Jay? How you doing, man?
Yeah, man, these intros have changed over the years, man. Like, I used to jump down with you and, you know, used to be like my guy. It used to be, you know, Chicago's own, Evanston's own, whatever you want to call it. Now, all of a sudden, I'm out here like chaperone, chauffeur to Jace, you know. Fiance to, I'm like, man, I'm losing my identity out here, but it's good to see you, brother, man. How's everything?
Everything's cool. Hey, we're going to see each other next week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the flesh.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. NABJ 24, Chicago gets a chance to host this thing. I've only been to one. Right?
Oh,
and
in Florida.
One I went to.
In Florida.
In Miami. Yeah. And what I went to was an extravaganza, right? I'm looking forward to seeing how people enjoy the city. It's one of the best, if not the best, summer city in the entire country. So I'm looking forward to seeing you and everybody else that's falling in, man.
Yes, the Blacks will convene in Chicago.
Oh. Like never before. like last weekend. You know, like it is the crib.
It'll be a different type of convention than the one that's gonna be held, you know, a little bit later on.
Yeah. You know? It might be. But I mean, with recent developments, you know, that thing might have got a whole lot blacker as well. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Yes,
there's a skit to be done about AKAs invading the DNC. You know what I mean? Like yeah. Hey,
fellas, go ahead and make your way here and enjoy your time. And also, you know, move wisely, move cautiously. You know,
I don't think people will be venturing too far outside of the Chicago land, not even the downtown area.
Downtown area. Make a couple stops, you know, Hyde Park, Kenwood, you know, Bronzeville, low end area, you know, maybe go up to River North and enjoy yourself.
That's about as far as it's going.
And then after that, we'll have shuttle buses that if you get past a certain perimeter, that it'll take you back to where you need to go.
Yeah, do not pass go. That's all we're gonna say. Do not pass go.
Just come to the go. That's all.
Yeah.
Come to the
yeah,
go.
Yeah. I'm gonna hook up with my man Drew, get myself a nice haircut out there.
Shout
you
out
know.
To Drew.
So yeah, we gonna get into it. Contrary to what people in Chicago believe, I actually really do like Chicago. So
no, everybody knows you like Chicago. It's just the people on the internet that you happen to fight with, or you know, when you happen to throw an unnecessary Isaiah Thomas top 10 highlights video out there just to show people exactly who they should be rooting for and why they should be, you know, still celebrating the second greatest point guard of all time who happened to come out of the west side of this city. I'm still one of the guys in this city that fights the Isaiah Thomas fight that people hate me for. I kind of carried the torch from, hey, y'all, Isaiah was cold as hell, even as a Bulls fan, to, you know, then the 2011 Miami Heat Eastern Conference Finals when I was like, hey, guys, I think that their Derrick Rose is 6'8" and 275 pounds. But I could be wrong. And then people got after me for that. So, you know, we are brothers in arms in terms of the respect and admiration for Isaiah Thomas's game.
Yes, we are. I'm going to have to get Isaiah on this podcast. It's long, long overdue.
Yeah,
to talk about some things, but you know, we'll
it's
say
it's long overdue to talk to you, man, about you know the NBA
development.
We got some development.
So let's
things happening.
Let's get into the outlet where you know we connect on a hit-ahead pass and we go through several pieces of news quickly. At least we're gonna try to. Yesterday, I'm sure you guys saw it, LeBron James scored the last 11 or so points for USA, helping them escape again. One, it was South Sudan over the weekend. Yesterday, it was Germany. Final pre-Olympics exhibition. They go 5-0. I don't know if it necessarily engenders a whole lot of confidence because the world has gotten a lot better. But right. If LeBron James has to, you know, rescue the United States out of some of these tricky situations that he actually helps them get into, Jason Goff, mind you, because that man looked old and slow until the last 5 minutes. And then, boom, it's like, oh, boy, proton pack. Let's go. Let's get it. All right, cool. What do you make of what we're seeing from soon to be 40-year-old LeBron James? And I will ask this question without the hyperbole, Jason Goff.
Well, that's damn near impossible when it comes to LeBron and conversations surrounding LeBron. The serious side of it is absolutely incredible. This dude can still do these things at this age, yada, 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 everything that we've heard. I'm not trying to brush over it. And as you mentioned, there are times where, you know, that help side defense or that awareness isn't as quick twitchy as it used to be. And it shows up. But when he presses that turbo button, he can still do it for a good 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes of a basketball game. And I love seeing, like, how the hierarchy, like, establishes itself at the end of these games, where it's like, oh, we all stars, everybody cold, everybody got 200 mil in the bank. And then after a while, I was like, hey, Steph and LeBron, can y'all talk to y'all homies over there in the other jerseys for us? That's the serious side. The fun part is, LeBron ain't low. I see what's happening here. This is LeBron taking off the first month of the next NBA season right before our eyes. Mm. This is it. Remember the Oklahoma City all-time scoring champ game when he was like, nope, breaking this record tonight. You see the shoes. You see who's in the stands. I have planned this. By the way, next 2.5 weeks, I'm going to be chilling. My toe hurt. Okay? I'm telling y'all right now, as hard as this man is going now, And then the Olympics are coming up here. You're going to have to go even harder because now they got to, you know, they can gauge the pitch, right? They can mm-hmm. time it up a little bit mm-hmm. now. And I'm sorry, that Serbian team, that Petrušev, I'm like, hey, these boys ain't got no respect for the U.S. Like, I remember when dudes used to have, like, handshake and sign, switch jerseys and, you know, after Barkley elbowed. Barkley elbowed an Angola. Next thing you know, that's on his mantle at the crib, right? Like, look at me. This is me catching the elbow, son. Now, these dudes is getting over screens and kneeing dudes and going crazy. So, I think this is all about to be Bron sitting out the first month of the next season. And who could be mad at him? He's 40. But the interesting part is going to be how that affects Bronny if he's going to be on the regular roster. You know, if he's going to be in street clothes, dad going to be in street clothes, Bronny going to have to go out there and prove his for the family, hold the family name down. It's just, it's a lot of work for a different ecosphere that the world is playing in now when it comes to basketball. They, you know, that whole, this the 92 team would have beat this team by 45. Nah, this is the reason why this team is the way it is, because of that 92 team. You got dudes on this team who getting looked at as traitors. Shout out to Joel Embiid. Mm. Like, it's real out here. Everybody can play basketball now. I don't know if people have been noticing the NBA drafts and, you know, Burner Boy, you know, playing at the All-Star break in Salt Lake City. Like, the world has changed around us, you know? So American basketball players, it's going to be tough on y'all for a little bit.
Like, the comparison to the Dream Team is just, like, I will say I got a very pointed text message from a Chicago media legend following Saturday's game.
I know exactly who you're talking about already.
And he said, Dream Team my ass. That was the exact words. And then it was followed by a phone call where he railed for 40 minutes or so about how dare you talk about you. You're absolutely right. I didn't say a word about the Dream Team. I know better, right? Now, one, LeBron looks huge. Either LeBron looks like physically bigger or these dudes look smaller. Now, it could be some level of combination of both because he ain't jumping as high. Like on some of these dunks are more arms than legs, right? Which is to be expected at 40 years old. The contrast is when he needs to go play bully ball, he gonna go play bully ball. Now, the question as it pertains to the NBA business is, we know, or at least people with common sense should know, that LeBron James is not the best player in the league and has not been the best player in the league for quite some time. Is he, Jason Goff, the best American player? I still say no because I have eyes.
Is he the best American player? No.
You still have, you know, you still got Anthony Edwards, who we've seen do work. You still got Stephen Curry, still out here doing work. You still got Kevin Durant, who we're going to see doing work. That's Captain America. Put that, look, we're going to go from watching the U.S. win these games by the skin of their chinny chin chin to blowing them out because they got the greatest nuclear weapon that we've ever seen in international basketball. Just wanted to say that.
No, and also, I think it should also be said how much has fallen on the shoulders after the roster composition and, you know, how it's looking on Anthony Davis, too.
Yes.
Anthony Davis, these first five games, for a guy who understands I'm not going to get the touches and the looks because this is an international game with a bunch of stars on it who handle the ball. I'm usually the second option on the team, sometimes the first option on the team. On this team, I'm going to be the third, fourth option sometimes. I think Anthony Davis has had himself quite the solid run, not just rim defending, but what he could do taking the ball off the rim with these rules. He looks like he's in decent shape. And I'm glad you mentioned the part about LeBron looking bigger because I was like, hey, that's Karl Malone's body type out there now. Like the stuff we used to talk about, like year 15, year 12, he's going to be Karl Malone and get that back to the basket game and get that elbow, fade away one leg jumper like Carl. Well, you took it to the year 2021, 22 now, and it's starting to come to fruition. Like, I don't know if that's offseason stuff where he slows down a little bit. I don't know if he's enjoying himself a little bit more, but he does look a little bit more brolic than I'm. And then this other thing, we gotta get him to stop doing the shoulder, like get him off my shoulders thing. That's some dad shit if I ever see it. That's what I do. That's what I do anytime Jay trying to run up on me. I get sneak attacks now. I just swing him off me, get him off. Like that's you talking about a dad in full force right there. So yeah, Bron is, man, is Bron the best American bad? Because I know Nick Wright. I saw Nick Wright talking about this. Is he the best American basketball player out there? No, probably not. But he ain't far off.
He's not far off. He's in the top five, which is a heck of an accomplishment in itself. And I know some people will take that as, oh, here go Vinny hating again on LeBron. No, I mean, the man is 39 years old. We can't expect him. Like, trust, there's a subset of Twitter where it's a bunch of losers. You know what I mean? Like,
That's a good start. You can talk about any conversation.
There we go.
And that's a good start, right?
We just going to leave it at that. A bunch of losers, right?
Yeah, you can tell.
Next topic. Russell Westbrook, one of your favorite players.
My man.
Now on yet another team. I feel like since that MVP year, he's went from, from Houston to Lakers. Was it a stop in between? After Lakers? Washington.
Houston, Lakers. Oh, yeah, D.C. He had a couple triple-doubles in D.C.
Yeah, D.C., then Lakers, then traded again, then Clippers, and now he's going to be joining the Denver Nuggets, after he's just bought out and everything. I'm sure they're just getting some of the clerical work done. Mm-hmm. I understand the temptation for both in doing this. A, Russell Westbrook is an offense into himself, right? He doesn't need to live off of Nikola Jokic the way that some of these other offensive options for the Nuggets do. And the Nuggets have limited resources because you got three max players. And I don't think three max players is a tenable way to conduct business in this NBA. But when you sign Michael Porter Jr. to a max and you're not aware of the, second luxury tax apron world that's going to come in 2 or 3 years, this is what you're forced to do. Mm-hmm. My question, Jay, is I don't know if Russell Westbrook can finish as well as he needs to play off of Nikola Jokic. And I don't know how good he is with the ball carrying an offense when Jokic and Jamal Murray aren't on the floor to make it make sense.
So when they lost Bruce Brown, they lost that spastic energy of all right, let's switch up the mojo here. Mm-hmm. But the difference is Bruce, obviously, at this point in his career, better defender. Right. Obviously, Russell still got some some offensive bounce, but not, you know, never been a shooter. And, you know, this point in his career, it's only so much to be expected. What I love is that my man, Russell Westbrook, is on that Glenn Robinson ring chase. Like, people don't remember Glenn one with the Spurs, right?
Yeah.
Like, people don't, like, Glenn Robinson was the dog, like, literally big dog in Milwaukee, you know, first dude to ask for $100 million straight out the gate of college. People were like, this is crazy. Glenn went along to score, what, 20 points a game, 22, 24 points a game for about a good 7-8 years, bounced around a little bit, found himself mid-range on that master. Found himself on that San Antonio Spurs squad, and he's a champion. I don't care what you say. Russell's just trying to get a championship. And at this point in his career, where everywhere you go, you are going to a couple of things. You're going to draw the ire of the fan base the moment they realize that after the last 17 years that your jump shot isn't as wet as you think it should be. And then also, he's going to then get into it with some of those fans, whether it be at home or on the road. Those are two things that are guaranteed. But his energy, like for me, the Denver Nuggets are a nice team that borders on ornery, but they aren't the team that's telling you that we are better than you in a way that champions should move. And I think you saw that last year. And I think that's why the Minnesota Timberwolves walked into that stadium in game 7. Was like, oh, no. They haven't told us that they're better than us. They just have won, right? I think Russell will provide some of that energy. But in the end, you know, it's a lot of these dudes that we watching now that we saw win MVPs and saw be great, we hoping that we could squeeze a little bit more juice out of it. Just for fans' sake. Ain't no
squeeze.
That's what I'm saying.
Ain't no squeeze, dog.
Ain't nothing there anymore, right?
Isn't it crazy
where we thought his career might be going after the Patrick Beverley knee incidents and all the other things, and watching him and Derek at the same time, we was like, oh, which one is the more athletic point guard or which one's going to be greater down the road? And that dude is still, like, when he's on the floor, when healthy, he's still trying to move. That's the one thing. That's why I love Russell. Russell, you might hate it if he's on your team, if you're watching him every single night, but when he's not on your squad, name me a dude who's going to play that way and with that tenor for that long. Like, there's only certain rappers who could do what they do for so long, you're like, yo, I'm still not tired of it. Like, Russell is the Too Short and the Pusha T of NBA basketball.
That's an interesting one.
Where he's like, I don't care what you say. Talk about pimping. Talk about cocaine. That's it. I don't want to hear anything else out those two.
You don't want to hear no maturing.
Not at all.
You want to hear no
not
growth.
Russell, if I dare see you run a pick and roll where you give it up, I'm turning the TV off. I don't want that. I want you screaming down the court, beating your team and the other team down the court, and trying to dunk on everybody. I'm fine with that.
Look, man, one of my close friends in the business said this, and it's not Bomani before people think it is. He said, Russell Westbrook is the most loyal dog you will ever have, and he'll also shit on your couch.
100%.
That's what
you
it is.
You got to deal with it.
That's what
you
it is.
You got to deal with it.
Now, it's funny you bring up Glenn Robinson, because my mind just went to, you know, I just went through the archives. There's something to be done about those mid, late 90s small forwards who weren't quite Grant Hill and weren't playing with Michael Jordan, so they couldn't be Scottie Pippen. You know what I mean? Glenn Robinson, Glenn Rice, Jamal Mashburn. Ooh. Dog, ooh. Do you remember Jamal Mashburn?
Jamal was nasty.
He could be illegal offense in today's game. A 6'8 dude with handle, a big body and a jumper? Yeah.
So this is when I first saw, because especially with the Kentucky stuff, when I first saw Julius Randle, I'm like, oh, they messed around and tried to recruit and got Jamal Mashburn again. Now, you know, as time went on, like, Jamal was never really appreciated the way he should have been, because he was playing with two other stars at the time, too, in Dallas. But, hey, man, you talk about a legend at the bank. You go ahead and Google what Jamal Mashburn been up to these last decade or so. Jamal doing all right. And he's one of those cats who, in my interactions with him, has always been a smooth, pleasant dude. So, yeah, man. Yeah, Jamal. I mean, hell, back to the, you know, but you can't throw Mitch in that category, because Mitch was a shooting guard. But there's a bunch of guys like that who, you know, post-Jordan, I think it's I think it's one of the things that kind of ruined basketball conversations is that post Jordan, we weren't allowed to appreciate dudes for just being cold. It was, how many rings did you get?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I remember my dad talking about Bernard King and cats like that. And it's like, you can appreciate and love that career, and that can be your favorite player now. It's like, if you say Paul George is your favorite player, you get scorned. Like, what? You root for a guy who's never won anything? But like, nah, but he been cold for 15, 14 years. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay to celebrate the dudes who haven't won as well.
Yeah, and right, this is right before we get to the Paul George slander.
It's definitely coming.
Yeah, it's definitely coming. But John put this in the rundown, so we're going to get to it right before the break. The Hornets are buying out Reggie Jackson. He's joining the Philadelphia 76ers. He's also close with Paul George. So just more, I guess, reinforcements for what they're trying to do in Philly. That's it for the outlet, and we're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about the Eastern Conference offseason outlook here with Jason Goff. We're going to pay some bills. Back on The Good Word here with Jason Goff. Jason, of course, we're going to go through some of these new-look Eastern Conference teams, or in the case of the Boston Celtics, we just going to pay everybody all the money that we have. Oh, and then we're going to sell the team. So second tax apron, my ass, right? You got Kristaps Porzingis. He underwent surgery again. He's out till December. Jay, do you think out of the last 6 years we've had six different champions, when you look at their youth, when you look at the way that they ran through the East on the way to the finals, maybe you would say it was a little fortuitous considering teams were hurt and everything else. But do you look at the Celtics as having the best chance for a repeat as any of the last six champions that we've had since 2019?
I do. And I don't think I would have been in a position to say this before this last year because they hadn't won it yet. Mm-hmm. Like this was the squad, and especially those two players were the guys who were like, all right, it's time to prove it now. Right. Everybody gets to that, you know, LeBron moment. Steph got to it where it's like, all right, it's cool. It's cute. You know, you got your extension. Your ankle's hurting you still. Everybody looking at you crazy. And then all of a sudden, you know, Iman Shumpert talks about it where he came to the Garden, put 50 on him, and he never looked back in his career again. Right. Mm-hmm. There are moments where you're looking at Jason Tatum. Like Jason Tatum feels like he's 34 years old to us because he got introduced to us in the Eastern Conference Finals going up against LeBron in Cleveland and punched it on him.
Yes.
And we're like, uh-oh, here it comes.
He's here.
Right. And then he started working out with Kobe. He was like, oh, it's happening, y'all. It's happening. And then it didn't happen.
Wait,
right?
how did he work out with Kobe and take all of, like, Kobe's bad habits?
Because Kobe, God rest his soul, had some bad habits that only an immortal-like basketball figure could pull off, and everybody out here was trying to mimic it, and you're like, nah, you can't do that. You can't take a triple-clutch shot at the elbow, right? You can't mess around and get somebody off their feet, call them a bad name, bounce into them, and then shoot a fadeaway. Like, Kobe's degree of difficulty was greater than any player I've ever seen, and I've seen Michael Jordan play in his
but
prime,
he wasn't right? Michael wasn't a degree of difficulty dude. Mike was a, I'm getting to this spot, I'm rising that's above it. You I'm Hold making up. This game as simple and as efficient as possible. That's what thing that people miss about Mike is that his game was beautiful in an efficient but furious
robotic
way.
Yeah. It's Kawhi. It's why the Kawhi stuff always comes up. Because it's like, all right, Kawhi, where you going to be? Over there, over here, and in the short corner every once in a while. And I'm going to hit from all three ranges, and y'all going to just have to deal with this 26 if I'm healthy.
Eat it. You just have to eat it.
Yeah, that's it. Whereas Kobe, you know, how many Phoenix playoff games? We're like, hey, Kobe, you can shoot that, I guess. You know, like, oh, Kobe, you can't. So Jason Tatum did that. And then the run-up of, okay, now Jaylen Brown is getting better. Mm. Now, how does this work out? Mm. Does the KD Russell Westbrook relationship happen here where there's a reason why Jason Tatum is so quiet because he knows JB could take all the arrows, similar to what I thought for a long time Scott Brooks had to deal with Durant and Westbrook.
Yeah.
There's a reason why Durant never went left on Westbrook because he's like, oh, you gonna take all these shots, all these slings, all these arrows, and I just get to chill and fight with somebody from the Oklahoman every once in a while? I'm cool. So they got to that point, and we were sitting there for like 3 or 4 years, like, what's happening? The ankle injury in the playoffs to Jason Tatum ends their run. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a lot what the Boston Celtics are and what the East just simply isn't to me. The West has 7-8 teams that think they can win, right? Not legitimately, maybe right. 4 or 5, but 7-8 that feel like they're in there. Sacramento Kings taking big swings, right? Like, hey, just let's bring DeMar in here now because we got to figure out a way to beat Oklahoma City, Minnesota,
right.
You know, teams like that. Denver, obviously. With the Boston Celtics, they could look around and go, all right, we're still relatively young enough in terms of our premier players. Our bench did that rebuild thing like bullpens have to do every year in baseball where it's like, hey, we can let Jeff Green and some of these other cats go and rely on Sam Hauser and Peyton Pritchard. All right, we can get away with that. And then you look around, I mean, I don't think there's more pressure on any one player in the Eastern Conference and maybe the NBA than the guy that we see struggling in the Olympics right now in Joel Embiid.
That brings us to our next team.
Let's get it.
The Philadelphia 76ers. The weird thing is you have the MVP, you have an MVP, and Joel Embiid, who every 5 seconds looks like he's about to look over to the sidelines and say, Elizabeth, I'm coming home to you. That's what he looks like every 5 seconds. That boy is lumbering. He doesn't, I can see why the playoff Joel Embiid, he played well in these playoffs in the first round, even though they lost. I see why he struggles in the playoffs when I look at him in international basketball, because the game moves at a speed in a regular season that it does not move like in the playoffs. People say the playoffs slows down to a degree, but you have to be quick twitch. You have to make very quick decisions. And I don't think that Embiid makes quick enough decisions that compensates for the lack of fouls that you're going to get, the increased contact that's not going to be rewarded by fouls that you're going to get. And then you go and you add in Paul George, who people believe, you know, playoff P, the jokes, the hitting the side of the backboard, all these other things. Jay, just to spin it to you, I don't look at this team and say, man, this is the year that they're going to do it. Because we never see a team add a superstar piece recently. And it turned over in a year. Usually it takes 2 years. Do you think that, you know, the opening that's there for the 76ers, the way that the opening was there for Boston, do you think Philly now walks through that open door if that door is indeed open?
When's the last time we saw that, right? Clyde with Houston? I mean, it's been
a minute, you had the Celtics of 08.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, they threw the group together.
That group together.
So this is the issue that I have. And, you know, you never know what's going on with a guy. You never, I'm very careful when it comes to talking about people's bodies. And you never know, what kind of medication guys are on, what injuries guys have that they aren't revealing and are slowing them down or hampering them. But if possible, Joel needs to go and watch what happened with Tim Duncan's body throughout his career, where Tim, you know, came out of Wake Forest, you know, young dude, put on that grown man weight. And then there was a moment there, there was a few year stretch because of the knee issues and because some of the issues that he was having, Tim got pretty svelte.
Yeah.
Tim got, he got back down. Yeah. And then at the end of his career, you know, it's like, all right, it's the swan song. We out here kicking it. You know what I mean? It's still getting to the playoffs, but we out here kicking it. Life is treating us the way it's supposed to. I've been a dynastic player that everybody forgets about when they talk about rings. I've been maybe a top 6 or 7 player of all time. Joel, I think, when's the last time you saw Joel go up with explosion and hammer at home in a crowded paint area, right? Like, he should still be doing some of those things at his age and with the injury history and all the other thing. Like, this other thing too, man. When's the last time you felt like Joel Embiid was having a ball out there? Right?
That's
like, remember
point.
When Joel was going to Rihanna concerts and tweeting and doing all the young stuff? And it's like all that stuff immediately cold turkey. Like, it went away and it's focused. Get more serious about basketball. And then Kawhi Leonard's jump shot bounces around the rim 2 or 3 times. And since then, you know, he's had a storied career. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But in terms of big man dominance in a league that is begging for a big man to just be like, I'm the dude, Nikola Jokic came and kind of not only caught up to pulled ahead of him. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, what is the redefinition? You know, shout out to Black Star, Mos, and Talib. What's the redefinition of Joel Embiid? Is it putting Paul George on the other side of him? Is it saying, hey, Tyrese Maxey, you can't be Robin anymore. Like, some nights you're going to have to be Batman plus, right? Like, I'm just, because I want to see Joel get to a postseason where he's one, healthy, and two, looks like not only that he's having a good time, but his body is doing what it was supposed to be doing. And we just haven't seen that, man. It sucks because, you know, unfulfilled potential, even though he's an MVP, a number one overall pick, like some of the things that you see there, we should be watching an Akeem, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson type of run where it's like, y'all going to win a championship or sniff one because of that man.
And I mean, if you think about it, David never had that run.
Right. He waited till Tim got
there. And the crazy thing is, was Embiid the third pick?
No, he was first, right?
He was behind Jabari and Wiggins, right? Was that the same draft?
No, it's the second pick. Yeah, you're right.
That was the Jabari Wiggins draft that we thought, oh man, who's going to be the number one pick here? And Embiid had the back issues. Remember, his back was flagged. However, how did that Kansas team not win a championship? But once again, when you got, if I tell you that Kansas didn't win a championship and they got the first pick and the third pick, you're going to be like, well, who were the first pick and third picks? And you say Joel Embiid and Andrew Wiggins, you're going to be like, that's why.
Well, and remember, Andrew had, 4 points in that last game, if I'm not mistaken?
Some dudes are just super friggin' talented and can never actually put it together, and they annoy the shit out of you because they're so talented and you want them to do it. One day we gonna have a segment. We gonna do a podcast series called Unfulfilled Potential or something like Lost Ones or something like that.
Shout out to Michael Ray Richardson. Good. You know what I mean? So many dudes.
So look, I want to get to the Bucks. Like the Knicks are on the rundown, but I want to get to the Bucks and I want to get to the Heat because we gotta talk about the Bulls with Jason. The Bucks, are we either A, Jason, writing them off too soon when I look at the fact that they won a total of one playoff series since winning that 2021 title? And you're looking at Giannis's age, he's going to be 30 in December. You're looking at Dame's age, he's going to be 33. Well, he just turned 33 on, I think, July 15th. And you're looking at small guards. Isaiah was retired. Magic was retired. Steph done did a rebirth as he's entered the back end. You know what I mean? Like, Gary Payton didn't decline until 35. Stockton didn't decline until 35. I'm trying to think who were the other archetype point guards. Jason Kidd was still really, really effective at 35. Not at the top of their games, but really, really
effective. Could get it done.
They can still get it done. Like, Stockton's last All-Star appearance, I think, was 34. So, Dame still has some tread. You know, but he's 33 and he's a small guard, you know, that's had a couple of knee issues. And last year, he couldn't, you know, because of all the offseason trade stuff and everything else, he couldn't work out. So he just walked into training camp, new team, new situation, wasn't comfortable. Then you add in the Doc Rivers, Adrian Griffin stuff, blah, blah, blah. I say all that to say, adding Gary Trent Jr., I think, was a really smart move for them, Jay, because all they got is the minimum to play with. And Chris Middleton has his ankle. Both his ankles worked on at the same time. I don't know how you decide. I'm going to be on crutches. I'm going to be out, not even hopping, limping.
Forfeit in the summer. You ain't going nowhere.
Hey, maybe that's what your boy Scotty should have did in 97 instead of having a hot boy summer.
You can't help it. But I try to get the Chicago people off your ass.
I'll never get off of Scotty. No, you don't got to worry about that.
You and Bo have this Scottie Pippen thing that you have come like you know that was my favorite player during the dynasty. So nothing that you say about Scottie, yes, you can make your face up all you want. Okay, when Scottie Pippen was on the top of his game, it wasn't many that was messing with him.
You mean the Scottie Pippen that was begging for Mike to come back? You mean Sitting Bull? Do you mean Sitting Bull, Scottie Pippen? Is that what you mean?
Yes, yes. A man with terrific talents and sometimes flummoxed and confused thought processes, okay? That's all it was, you know? We can't, sometimes we are a contradiction of our very things that, that make us successful, okay? Sometimes we don't always
Jason
see the
Goff,
light.
I am disappointed that this is where you use your equity.
You can
that
be this disappointed.
Is, that this is where
I'm
you
fine.
Use your considerable
yes.
equity.
Yes, yes, and I'm still on the Ben Simmons train. I fall in love and stay there. I fall in love and stay there. I'm loyal. You kidding me? You know, I'm a long term relationship kind of guy. So I'm not about to just run just because Scotty had a book and Scotty said some things that probably he shouldn't have been saying. And you know, listen, I'm not gonna allow for that. You know, you pick on somebody, you know, pick on Terry Mills or somebody, you know, keep that Detroit shit over there. You know what I mean? What you doing? What you doing out here? Yeah, John,
my bad, Jason. I just got a
What's
migraine.
What's going on out here?
I just got a migraine. I couldn't hear what you said.
Oh, now you're making fun of people who battle migraines for. Okay.
Oh
ladies
no.
What's the at? What's the socials? For all you migraine sufferers out there, Vinny Goodwill is saying it's all in your head. Literally,
he had a migraine once in his life. He had a migraine once. He's a migraine sufferer. That man had a migraine once in his life. June 3rd, Auburn Hills. He saw Dennis Rodman over there. He saw Isaiah Thomas over there. He saw Bill Laimbeer. That man said, "No mas, Mike, you out there by yourself, dog."
He had the ice pack on his neck.
He had the ice pack. You know? You know what John Sally said after the game? You know what Sally said? He should have had the ice pack on his balls.
See? This is why when you come here, you have to have a police escort at times. This is why. Because the situation that we're sitting here talking about the Eastern Conference in 2024 and Scottie Pippen in the 90s Bulls is catching shots for no damn reason.
Never
Just
forget.
Saying. John?
Never forget.
Hey, John, you're going to be blamed for this too. John, you got to be honest. You got to be aware of who you're rolling with. You're going to have to come to Chicago too. And they're going to be like, who's producing that show? John Gennaro, ladies and gentlemen. G-E-N-N. No, I'm messing up. Go ahead.
Now back to the lecture at hand. Well, we got off track on your boy, Scotty. And my best friend loves Scotty Pippen. So every time I talk about Scotty, he'd be like, come on, man. Why you got to do this? Yes, I have to do this. Yes. Now, back to the lecture at hand. Have we written the Bucks off, or are they a sleeping giant?
Yes. Not they a giant that's taking a long nap. That's a wrap. That window is closed.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Giannis can only do so much. He can only do so much for so long. Like we get used to treating these dudes like. Remember when the 19, 20-year career, you look like Buddha Edwards at the end, right? We get so used to looking at these dudes like, oh, he's going to be able to run around. No, shout out to Buddha. Famous, championship bull, by the way, James Buddha Edwards, okay? In case you wanted to know, he came to the city where he was like, I need to win something. That thing has been done for a while now and won't be back on track until the early
aughts. He left Detroit in 91, dog, so we ain't even tripping off that.
I'm just, you know, hey, lies don't have to get in the way. You know, the truth ain't got to get in the way of a good story. But all I'm saying is Giannis Antetokounmpo can only be asked to be so much for so long. I love the fact that even before the Phoenix Finals, you know, we like to rewrite history as if Giannis wasn't like, hey, something needs to happen here or else, you know? And then when he wins, it's like, oh, he's doing it the right way. He stayed with the team that drafted him.
Oh, he's keeping foot on it. He's keeping his foot on their neck in perpetuity.
Every offseason, hey, sign my brother and go get somebody that's going to make up for the fact that you gave this roster spot to my brother. You know what I'm saying? That's what and this is the thing. He got caught in the flux because, you know, life happens. Damian Lillard, we all know the kind of, you know, off the court situation that he was dealing with. And he's talked about it. Like, I didn't expect Dame, once that became public knowledge, I didn't expect Dame, man, that's your family, right? You away from your babies, you away from the lady that you once loved. Like, that's a lot. And then you're going to do it in Milwaukee. at, on top of that. You know, imagine telling your family, hey, we going to Miami, baby. We about to, you know, it's about to be rolling and shaking, moving and shaking. What? And then all of a sudden you end up in Milwaukee, you know, next to Mars Cheese Castle and the Pfister, which is a hotel, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want y'all getting, you know what I mean? I don't want y'all getting wild out here. So yeah, this Giannis thing, you can only ask him to do so much for so long. And then once the physical decline starts to happen with Giannis, where does that game go? Like the points per game and the rebounds are fine, but the impact, like this dude has another 3-4 years where he's physically going to be this dude.
It's a lot of miles. It's a lot of miles.
I think it might be
hard
a rap.
Mile. It's hard miles on his knees.
Yeah.
Hard miles on his back. And he's turning 30 years old. And he's right now carrying Greece through the Olympics where he could be resting. And you can't tell Giannis, hey man, we think it would be best. You can't say that. Right?
Mm-mm.
And Giannis has missed considerable playoff games over the last 2 years where he hasn't didn't play at all. After he played 73 games for the Bucks this past year, it wasn't like he was injured all the time. The 73 games were the most that he's played, I think, in about 3 or 4 years. But, and you thought that he was going to get there. I thought the Bucks were going to be the party crashers in the East. I thought that with you two playoff performers in Dame and Giannis, that, okay, you're going to get by the Pacers, right? You're going to beat the New York Knicks. And then, okay, it's going to be the showdown against the Celtics. And they couldn't get off the starting blocks because Giannis was hurt, and then Dame got hurt, and then you were left with Chris Middleton, who had the greatest playoff performances of his life outside of the 40-point games in the finals, and it didn't mean anything. Like, that has to stick in their craw in addition to not having any flexibility. Like, you signed Gary Trent Jr. for the veteran minimum, and he's going to help a lot. I'm just very curious if the clock has passed them by. We can't sit somewhere and talk about the league having so much parity. And you got 6 different champions in 6 years. That means windows are never open as long as you think they are. That means windows open and close within the same damn calendar year, right? Speaking of windows opening and closing the same damn year, I bring to you the Jimmy Butler Miami Heat. You have seen the Jimmy Butler experience like I have up close and personal. Jimmy Butler's in the last year of his contract. They could not come. Jimmy wants a full 4-year max. I'm thinking by virtue of him being 35. If he gets to the offseason, he can sign a 4-year max compared to not being able to. Pat Riley came out after last season and said, you know, Jimmy's got to play more, which means Jimmy's going to play more because Jimmy wants his money. My question to you, Jay, will that mean anything? If I'm talking about windows opening and closing and even the great vaunted Miami Heat, they can fall victim to this too. They're right up against the second apron. You got Bam. You're trying to figure things out whether Tyler Hero fits in this iteration. You got Terry Rozier. Did it just pass them by? Did their window ever fully open with the roster they had?
I think it did. I think it fully opened, and that's how they made it. You know, shout out to the bubble championship, and then they got a chance to run up against this Denver Nuggets squad. I think they did a masterful job of getting the most they possibly could out of this team and that player. Like, Jimmy Butler, even when he was here in Chicago when he was young, it was like, can Jimmy Butler be the best player on a championship team? And then you find out with Philadelphia and Minnesota, like, okay, well, there's glimpses of glory, but it's not sustainable. He goes somewhere where they speak his language, but he goes there after bouncing around for a good, you know, 7-8 years before that. And now, like you mentioned, that team has a young nucleus. You know, you got Hawkins, you got Adebayo, who's now in his prime veteran years.
Right.
And Tyler Hero, like you said, trying to figure out, I love Jovic, right? Like, they got some players there, but they got this weird thing that they, I think, have installed in everyone's brains is, we don't have to play well during the regular season because we can go on the road in the playoffs and beat everybody, which is cool. But also, you find out who you are when the playoffs start, unfortunately, with that kind of thought process. Like, when Jimmy can sit out these games and has to sit out certain games because of load management or because of actual injuries, well, you're not knowing who's playing with who. And we saw how that worked out with Phoenix, where it's like, hey, we cold, we can just show up. No, you can't. And in the toughest moments, it's going to show that you can't just show up. So the push and pull that I expected to happen in Miami with the ascension of Tyler Hero. Like, I thought we were headed for a Miami Vice kind of vibe of Jimmy Butler knows he's the best player on the team, and Tyler Hero is the young upstart pulling up to the clubs and valeting right in front and saying, yo, I'm here now. Everybody got to respect it. And then Tyler got hurt, and Tyler, you know, his play has been up and down, even though he bounced back in a great way last year. I think that Miami Heat thing has come to the point where you've also got a architect who, you know, Pat ain't trying to rebuild. Pat don't know how much longer he got in this thing.
80 years old. Ain't no rebuilding.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So it's like having the owner.
We ain't getting no younger. We might as well do this. I hate that line. I hate that song. Every version of that song. But that line is applicable to Pat Riley.
It's a terrible song. I just don't think the Miami Heat ever stop being the Miami Heat. And I think that might be to their detriment with this thing. Like, if they sign Jimmy at what, 35, 36 years old, you're pretty much telling your young group that we're paying him because of what he's meant to this franchise. And also, you know, if y'all ain't growing up around here, we need to have one of those dogs still around.
Yeah.
Right? Bam Adebayo has become that guy, but keeping a guy like Jimmy Butler long term, you know, I think you're just moving around deck chairs on the Titanic.
I think it will make for a very interesting season in Miami, because I don't think they would go to the point of trading Jimmy. I could be wrong. I don't think they would go to that point. But I wonder if you are middling around 500, even if Jimmy's playing and you're just not able to cobble those wins together to get yourself to the, you know, 2-3 line in the Eastern Conference, where top three teams are going to be really good. We did not hit on the Orlando Magic, who are much improved. We did not hit on the New York Knicks. We did not hit on the Indiana Pacers, who might have, you know, some sweat equity, you know, coming in and some continuity with Ben Mathurin coming back and adding that to Halliburton and Pascal Siakam and those guys. Like, the Eastern Conference ain't great, but it's better than you think. They just don't have the top-level championship teams outside of Boston. And I'm counting Philly in that too. I don't think Philly is necessarily a championship team. Like, I'd have to see it first. But you do have a handful of really good teams that Miami would have to leapfrog with consistency that they have not shown over the last two regular seasons. So I think it's going to be a real interesting season there in Miami. And me and Jason sit on opposite sides of the Jimmy Butler experience, which made for a very interesting time in Chicago when Jimmy was going through a lot of his turmoil with the Chicago Bulls franchise.
Shout out to Jimmy.
Yeah, that was some must-see inside stories that we had going on there. Now, we're going to take our last break, and then we'll come back right back to talk about Jason Goff's Chicago Bulls. Prepare for the misery. Back on A Good Word here with Jason Goff. Jason, I tried to delay the inevitable for as long as I could. Oh, the Bulls. That's what they did. They delayed the inevitable for as long as they could, right? They were trying to figure out what to do with DeMar DeRozan. Do we want him to come back? Is he going to be a piece that holds this thing together while we just keep on middling? And then they traded Alex Caruso and didn't get any draft picks for him. They just got Josh Giddey and everything that comes with the Josh Giddey experience. And now, Jason, you have Zach LaVine. I've said it on your podcast and I was on it last week. I think I did.
Mm-hmm.
He's become viewed more as a contract than a basketball player. And I think that doesn't serve the Bulls well. I don't think that serves Zach well. But the team that gets him, it's going to serve them well, because I think he's going to ball out for them. If he's your third best player, Jason, you got something cooking, because you're asking him to score and defend his man. Easy work.
Yeah. Asking Zach to be that guy, I think, you know, it's akin to me, and this is a dude who I love watching play from his UConn days to his Milwaukee days to his Seattle days. But there was a moment in Ray Allen's career where it's like, all right, you're just going to be the catch and shoot dude. You're going to be the dude who plays decent defense. You're going to be the guy who's a connector, who understands and is aware basketball IQ-wise. Now, that's the argument. Is Zach LaVine, is his IQ, is his propensity sometimes for turnovers late in games or some head-scratching decisions it is trumped by his shot making ability. It is trumped by his athletic explosiveness, even at this point in his career after a couple of knee surgeries. Like, you know, the dude, he comes off as West Coast cool, right? But the cat is as hard a worker as and anybody you'll find. Zach gets after it, right? So all the things that he does, I think, are preparing him for the moment where when he does get a chance to shine on another team, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, the rest of the country's going to be like, oh, man, remember Zach LaVine, how cold he was? Whereas we're sitting here in Chicago watching, like, why can't this translate to wins? Like, why can't this translate to making teammates better in on the court? Like, off the court, giving guys a good word, no pun intended, is all good. But on the court, like, I had somebody last year say to me from, you know, that was inside the organization, like, you know, sometimes they're just better without them. And I was like, oh, okay, you know. And this person was upfront with it. Like, sometimes on the court, these young dudes just are better without him. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this thing plays out, because everyone's trying to be professional, but everyone understands that the marriage is over.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's time to, you know, cut the TV in half and get the dog days that you want, and, you know what I mean? Get the moving truck back in. Zach's gonna be very beneficial for somebody. But
right,
this offseason, you know, this has been the Bulls fans, I won't say worst nightmare, but this has been a tough dream for the Bulls fans, because there's so many young players that you can look forward to, but there's still questions there as well. So you're just hoping to have something to watch, but also to have an executable plan. And I think that once DeMar is gone, Vooch has kind of turned into one of those guys that maybe you can't move.
Right.
And Zach is a guy who people are kicking the tires on, but want to see healthy and also want to see how he affects winning and how professional he can be coming out to begin the season. So it's a tough spot for all parties involved right now.
Do you think, Jason, that the Bulls have to trade Zach before the season starts? Because right now the asking price essentially is multiple first round picks. And you're saying the Bulls have to attach multiple first round picks when first round picks ain't really getting moved like that because of how valuable they're going to be in this new TV world, where when you saw that $76 billion contract that the NBA has agreed to with Amazon and NBC and everybody and ESPN and everybody else. Half of that's going flush into a salary cap, which means we're going to have another explosion or at least some level of incremental growth with the cap. That means that the cheap labor of rookie scale contracts are more and more valuable, and teams are not going to want to give that up because you're going to have to pay guys $60, $70 million without blinking an eye. Do you think the Bulls can afford to bring Zach LaVine into training camp, into the regular season, and so on and so on? Or do they just have to take the loss?
You know, depends on which group we're talking about. Are we talking about Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley, who, when they were introduced, said that we are about drafting and development, or the group that on March 16th, 2021 said, you know what, Nikola Vucevic for essentially Franz Wagner, Wendell Carter Jr., and Jet Howard sounds like a good deal. Like, these people who are in charge have said, we have to change this continuity thing didn't work essentially, and now the mission statement is to get this thing back on track. If those guys that showed up at that exit press conference and are saying those things are still of that mind, then you take the loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a zero-sum fallacy that happens all the time where it's like, I mean, a sunk cost fallacy that happens all the time where it's like, oh, well, you know, you got to keep getting something for them. Nah, you don't. Because at some point, you got to turn this thing over to whoever's going to be the next iteration of the championship Chicago Bulls. And this city, for all the bluster and the toughness of the media, it's also a very, very forgiving city. Very
yes.
forgiving.
Yes.
Very forgiving.
Yes.
Right? And all you got to do is tell us the plan so we know how to talk about firing you. Right? That's all. And once you tell us the plan, let's rock. That's right. You know me. You know me. Rebuilds. I sat through the baby bulls with Tyson and Eddie.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We went through Jamal Crawford being drafted and being like, all right, where is he gonna play? Kirk Heinrich got drafted because Dwayne Wade was picked a pick ahead of him. Right.
Would y'all have taken Dwayne Wade?
I think they were getting ready. I think Dwayne thought he was getting taken by the Chicago Bulls. I think he did. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Pat Riley looking at Eddie Jones and everybody like, you know, this kid from Marquette with the huge hands and the big feet who's only 6'4", might be a generational player. And he was right. He was right. Right? Jay Williams, that situation.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunate, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, there's been so many things that Bulls fans like myself and other Bulls fans have sat through. Like, 1998 is our 1985 for Bears fans here in this city. 98 is a long time. That's when I graduated high school. My kid's about to be 8, right? Like this has been happening for a long time. So as long as if Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley, I think, were to come out tomorrow and be like, you know, we had to attach these draft picks, they would get flamed. Mm-hmm. they would be in trouble. But it's kind of like the Alex Caruso deal. When Alex Caruso went to Oklahoma City, like, what, you ain't get no picks? Hey, man, Sam Presti is the man with the strongest hand at the table. You ain't got no leverage. And, you know, you can get mad or be mad at the leverage that you gave up a year and a half ago at the trade deadline. But being mad at the leverage now, it's like, what are we talking about? Just because you draw a doorknob on the cardboard box don't mean you got a house, right? Like, you don't have a house. So I'm okay with you not having that leverage and being mad about it. If you don't have the leverage that you'd have to attach draft picks, then... You know, if you got job security, you can look at a fan base in the face and say, hey, man, you know, MB of Chicago, you know, Matas Buzelis and these boys about to run around and we're going to win 21 games and make sure that top 10 protected pick doesn't go to the San Antonio Spurs in a draft where Cooper Flagg and a bunch of people are coming out. Like, you might have to take the short. You might have to take the loss so that 2-3 years from now we could talk about this team like we're talking about the Houston Rockets right now. And I think that's what a lot of the Bulls fans are hoping happens.
Look, man, Jason, you don't remember 1972 because I don't remember 1972 because neither one of us were born. Nope. But 1998 is to 2024 as 1972 is to 1998.
Talk about the Knicks?
No, just the year. Just the distance.
I thought you were talking about the Knicks from the last time they won it to the time that they got to the finals against Tim Duncan, right? Is it 2000?
No, they're 99. Knicks got to the finals in 99.
Yeah, right?
AFC and ain't getting back this year, I tell you that much. Now, you brought up Jay Will, right?
Yeah.
And Jay had the unfortunate motorcycle accident.
Yep.
Lonzo Ball just got bad breaks all the way around, right? Yeah. Like, there was, and I think you remember this, there was a game, I want to say, in the 1920s, I think it was like the first year of DeMar, the 1920 year, and it was like a Saturday night. And I came to Chicago for this. It was Miami, Chicago. Miami was at the top of the East. The Bulls were right there. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a playoff matchup. You're going to get Revenge Jimmy against Lonzo, Zach, and DeMar. And it just never came to fruition. Like, the way that team played, like, you could see the vision. You could see all of it. Lonzo pitching it ahead. DeMar and Zach getting out in the open floor. Vooch on the slowdown, pick and roll, you know, seeing on one side and then kicking it to DeMar for the ISO or whatever on the other. Like, you could see the vision. And it was all tied together by Lonzo and his ability to defend, to spot up shoot, and to facilitate offense without needing to dribble the ball 100 times. We ain't seen that player in a long time because he hasn't been on the floor. Yeah. And now I don't know if he's going to get on the floor. We had the video of Lonzo, which looked really sad. Like, Lonzo was trying to prove to a certain, you know, announcer that he could walk, that he could stand on his own.
Stand in the chair.
He's standing in the chair in front of a pool and all that stuff. Like, whenever I see him on whatever platform you manage to see him on, I just think, I get it, I see it, but man, we ain't getting there.
Yeah, you know, it's not funny, but it's interesting that you mentioned, that I brought up Jay Williams and that you mentioned it to the segue here. When Jay was on his way back and everybody, you know, carrot on a stick, like, you know, keep going, keep working out, keep getting yourself there. It's not when you have that traumatic of an injury, just body trauma.
Yeah.
This man flew off of a bike and into a tree and damn near split himself in half, you know, hole in his pelvis and all that. But he tried to get back and he got back, and it wasn't the getting back. It was, oh, by the way, you got to do this three nights a week against the top competition in the world and travel and also rest and also stim and also not fall off basketball wise. Like, there's so much to ask from that knee and that area of Lonzo Ball's body that, one, I don't think anybody's ever come back from this surgery. Like, you're talking about cartilage, bone on bone, getting a donor, you know, tendon and all these things. Yeah, you can get back and standing dunks and you know, not having contact and no 5-on-5. Hell, when Derek got hurt, and everybody, you know, I think Derek was done a mighty disservice by people in and around the organization putting out stuff about how he was playing and how he was doing in practice. I'm like, wait a minute, you think Joakim Noah, he the reverence that man has for him, you think that Joakim Noah was if he had a chance to put him on his ass, wasn't going to say, hey man, that's my man? Like, you get taken care of in practice to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you go up against Dwight Howard, he gonna knock your ass out the air. And I think that is the next step. Do I think Lonzo Ball will get to the point where he kind of feels like and resembles himself? Hopefully. But can you do it night in, night out? Like, there's a reason why nobody's come back from this thing. And if he's going to be the first, then, you know, glory be to the basketball gods. But the first 3 months, like you mentioned, the Bulls were number one in the Eastern Conference. Like, he changed what this whole thing looked like just by putting the energy in the basketball and moving it. Right, same thing he did at UCLA for that 1 year. You had a locker room that was fighting, a program that was in upheaval. Next thing you know, you get on that team, they running and gunning. And then De'Aaron Fox, you know, got upset and put an end to all that. but and still ain't let go of it, by the way. De'Aaron still ain't let go of any of that smoke. But Lonzo, you know, it's far-fetched. I hope it happens. You know, I'm rooting for it. He has been cool the few times that I've gotten a chance to speak to him. I don't see it turning the way that Bulls fans and Lonzo wants it to turn. I'm hopeful for it, but yeah, man, that's a lot of stress and that's a lot of trauma to put on that joint. And when we're talking bone on bone and pain tolerance and
yeah
it's going to be tough.
No, it's going to be real tough. And I misspoke when I said the 19-20 season. I meant the 21-22. It was after the pandemic, that Chicago-Miami game, because I was 19-20. That was Norman Dale. That was the Hoosiers coach. That was Jim Boylan. That was him. 21-22.
Huh? Push-up master. I've told you about the story about him challenging the team to push-ups. I've told you about that, yeah.
No, but the people need to know that.
No. I'm going to tell you when we get off this. I'm going to tell you with visual accompaniment.
Okay, gotcha. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Jason Goff. Thanks for Jay for riding shotgun on me today. Thanks to producer John, the entire team who works so hard behind the scenes on this show. No Cap Room. They'll be back on Thursday. I'll be back next week, presumably before I go to Chicago for NABJ.
Yeah.
With some do's and don'ts. Until then, everybody be safe.